Hey, fantasy managers, welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. My name is Carson McCart. I'll be your host for this weekend edition of the pod. No more beating around the bush. Let's get into everything baseball related from Saturday, May 2nd. We will start with a sleet of injuries here. Nothing super major, it looks like, but a lot of stuff to get through. So we'll go right down the list. Ronald Acuña Jr. left the game today with hamstring tightness. Didn't seem to be a factor for the Braves, though, as they cruised to a 9-1 victory. George Springer left the game today after being hit by a pitch on the left big toe. This one is probably the biggest news of the day. Injury-wise, he had to leave. He was very much in pain, kind of rolling around on the ground for a bit. It's the same toe that he injured earlier. So we'll see if that's anything major, if there's structural damage. Will Vest was placed on the 15-day IL. This is an official transaction from an injury a couple days ago. Gleyber Torres left the game with left side tightness today. That's all I got. Left side tightness. Very descriptive, Major League Baseball. Thank you very much. Nico Horner, Yandy Diaz, and Brandon Nimmo all suffered previous injuries. They were all scratched yesterday. So their day-to-day status is, of course, going to continue. Some notable rehab starts, though. Brusdar Graterol, yes, remember him. He made a rehab start here, or is got a rehab assignment. Zach McKinstry, Nick Lodolo, and Carlos Santana were also assigned to their respective rehab starts, or rehab assignments, rather. Transactions here to talk about. A couple players activated from various lists. Phillies have activated JT Realmuto from the 10-day IL. Graham Ashcraft was activated from the Revent list, as well as Garrett Clevenger. So that is going to be all the transactions, injuries, news, and notes here as we move on to our notable performances. And we go for the hitters, the top hitter of the day. I am giving to Cody Bellinger, who absolutely crushed the Orioles. He went 4-for-4 with 2 home runs, a double, for a total of 10 total bases. Cody Bellinger just absolutely wreaked havoc on the Baltimore Orioles. And this is a Yankees lineup that just grows more formidable with Aaron Judge and now, you know, Ben Rice being absolutely ridiculous. Cody Bellinger getting into the swing of things. And if Jazz Chisholm heats up, you know, that's a formidable top of the lineup. They have struggled at the bottom half for a while, the Yankees have, with their depth. But Bellinger, you know, this is one of those performances that really shows, even though Judge and Rice didn't have the greatest days, they still got a lot of bats. So great day from Cody Bellinger. Kazuma Okamoto had the longest home run of the day, a 453 feet, doing 2-for-5. He has 5 home runs in his last 9 games. Not to be outdone, Byron Buxton, 1-for-4 with a home run. He has 7 home runs in his last 11 games. Pete Alonso, he has had a home run in now his second consecutive game. He went 1-for-4 as well. Nice to see Alonso heat up a little bit. Trent Grisham went 2-for-4 with a walk today, which isn't terribly notable, but I just want to say, you got to pick him up, guys. He is so underperforming his expected numbers. And Grisham at the top of the lineup is going to get batted in all the time from Rice and Judge, etc. Ian Happ went 3-for-3 today with a walk. He was a single short of a cycle, which I actually ended up doing a stat hit curie on. Not that rare, but it's just the second time this year that it's happened. So great day for Ian Happ, though. Austin Hedges went 3-for-5 with a home run, which is not fantasy relevant because you shouldn't be rostering Austin Hedges, but I just want to say he's an OPS of 864. If that's any indicator of the variance and weirdness that happens in April or now May baseball, yeah, there you go. Austin Hedges, 864 OPS. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is like now still under 700. Baseball's weird, folks. Chase DeLautner went 2-for-3 with 2 walks, and Travis Bazzana got his first MLB hit. So congratulations to him, the Guardians' top prospect. Jose Ramirez went 1-for-6. Poor day at the plate, but he did collect his 12th stolen base. He is second in the majors in stolen bases, just continuing to be productive in very pesky ways, Jose. Shea Langelier went 3-for-5 with 2 home runs. And I made a little note here. Is Langelier making a run at the best catcher in baseball title? It has shifted, I think, to different players each of the last 3 years. It was JT Realmuto, I believe. Then it was Wilson Contreras. Or William Contreras, rather, than, of course, Cal Raleigh. And now Shea Langelier may be making a run at that elusive title. Moving on, the entire Pirates lineup. I could have wrote Connor Griffin, who had a 4-hit day. I could have wrote a million players. Nathaniel Lau, Brandon Lau, Nathaniel, good Lord. There's too many Laus. But the entire Pirates lineup, guys. Oh my God. 30 total base runners in this one. 30. They got, it was just ridiculous. 19 total hits, 11 walks. It was one of the most ridiculous days of baseball that you'll ever see. So the entire Pirates lineup, just they all had a day, except for Henry Davis. Poor Henry Davis didn't get on base today, and I think 6 plate appearances. Nathaniel Lau, that's why I got my names mixed up. There's 2 Laus in this game. Nathaniel Lau, 2 for 4. He is continuing a great start. Really make sure that he's rostered in your leagues, even the shallow ones. Christian Walker, also a prominent first baseman, having a nice resurgence season. 3 for 4, 8th home run of the year for Walker. This was a guy that was sent in to alleviate the first base woes for the Astros that have been plaguing them for almost the better part of a decade. Maybe they found it long at long last. Xavier Edwards moving on here. Xavier Edwards went 2 for 4 with a rare home run. Wanted to mention that in the 4-0 Marlins victory. Jordan Walker went 2 for 4 with a home run today in their victory over the apparently sputtering Dodgers. Jordan Walker, guys, he is still here. He is still really good. Dylan Dingler went 2 for 4 with a home run. And finally, as we wrap up with just a couple catchers, Drake Baldwin went 3 for 4 with a home run. So that is all the notable performances. There were tons across the league, but we got to get rolling here. So make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article if you want to know more about all these hitters and then some. We move on now to the starting pitchers. And we have, for the first time, at least in my tenure here on the First Pitch Project, I am giving co-pitchers of the day because I couldn't decide between Max Meyer and Emerson Hancock. And so I wanted to give it to both of them. We'll start with Max Meyer, 7 scoreless frames, 1 hit, 7 Ks, 1 walk on just 83 pitches. He was on a pace that could be approaching Maddox territory, was pulled and didn't end up really mattering as the Marlins cruise to a victory. 15 whiffs, 35 CSW percentage, A-plus stuff was what the PLV game cards graded him as, A-plus stuff, A-plus PLV rating. Absolutely sensational statement start for Max Meyer against, still, even though there's something a little bit, still a formidable Phillies lineup. And Emerson Hancock, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 14 Ks though. 14 doesn't happen too often. You see 14 Ks in 7 innings, no walks to go along with it as well. 103 pitches. He got 21 whiffs. Hancock, for a guy that has had his prospect pedigree fluctuate a decent amount, this is another statement start. It was at T-Mobile against a fairly weak Royals lineup. Nevertheless, absolutely sensational start here. Moving on, Sean Burke. Speaking of guys who've had wavering prospect pedigree, 6 scoreless innings, 4 hits, 8 Ks, 1 walk, 84 pitches. Sean Burke, 11 whiffs. He has been very weird this year, just in the way he's pitched. He used to be kind of a very erratic sort of pitcher, high walk rate, high strikeout type guy. Those have kind of reversed, and it's actually seemed to work out quite well for him as he's sinking into more of a control type approach. But the fastball was absolutely cooking today, which is what we were excited about a couple years ago with Sean Burke. Or by we, I mean me. Chris Sale went 7 one-run innings in Coors Field, 3 hits, 11 Ks, and 3 walks. It was a really effective outing for Chris Sale, 102 pitches, 20 whiffs. He is just fantastic. I mean, this is his tenure with the Braves. I've never seen the narrative of a player shift so abruptly with Chris Sale, as a guy who it seemed like he was kind of offense, maybe doubtful to get in the Hall of Fame. And the last couple of years, he's just proven this is one of the best pitchers of the generation. He is absolutely unreal on the mound. Chase Dolander dueled Chris Sale, and it was a noble task and a hard act to follow. 5 1/3 innings, 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 Ks, 3 walks. Dolander has been kind of a popular player. This was a rough outing against, admittedly, a really hot lineup. 97 pitches, pretty rough start here. Roki Sasaki, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 4 Ks, 2 walks, 104 pitches. This is one of the weirdest starts you'll see. Roki Sasaki, I want to talk about him almost every chance I get. And I'm fortunate because he always appears on my days to talk about him. He has adjusted his splitter. It's thrown harder now, harder and a little tighter. And it's had strong results, but the fastball's just still not being able to be productive enough to consistently miss the bats and avoid damage. And he doesn't really have a lot of great breaking stuff to complement the fastball splitter combo. So Sasaki is still like, I'm jury still out, I think. He is young, but he's been a professional for like 5 years now. So I don't know what to make of Sasaki, frankly. Red Sox legend Kyle Harrison, 6 one-run innings with 7 hits, 5 Ks, 1 walk on 93 pitches. This was a very good outing. The whiffs weren't totally there, but Harrison's off to a sensational start for Milwaukee. And we'll wrap up the starting pitching segment here with Dylan Cease, who went 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 3 hits, or 7 hits, 7 Ks, 1 walk on 106 pitches. This is an extreme Dylan Cease start. Just a lot of things that you would imagine with a Dylan Cease start. Slightly inflated whip, a lot of Ks, a ton of pitches. He's got 16 whiffs overall on the day against the Minnesota Twins. Dylan Cease just continuing to be Dylan Cease. Be sure to give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundups. There's so many pitchers to talk about today, but we have to get rolling, or at least we will after this very short break as I catch my breath. So when we come back, we'll talk about the relievers and give you a preview of today's games. See you in a bit. All right, welcome back to the First Pitch podcast here. We will move on to recapping our relievers and looking forward to today's game, tomorrow's games. And we will start with Lucas Erceg, who went to save the game against the Mariners, barely. Does pick up his 9th save. He is going to make me lose it. He is going to make me lose it. Relievers are so weird. Erceg is not a guy I think you really want to be counting on, but nevertheless. Sir Anthony Dominguez also gonna make me lose it. He picks up his 8th save of the year. Dominguez barely got it. Not necessarily on on-field production, but he came in with the tying run on deck in a 4-0 game. Saves are the weirdest stat in baseball, man. They're so weird. Makes me lose my mind. Riley O'Brien also barely picked this one up. Pick up his 9th save of the year, though. Abner Uribe picks up his 3rd save. Nice to see there. Ben Brown picked up his 1st of the year for the Chicago Cubs. Nice to see. And Brian King picked up his 3rd save. Who blew it? Oh, God, who did blow it? The Reds. The Cincinnati Reds. 11 walks. The 17 hits are bad enough. 11 walks. Now, Rhett Lauder started this game. He allowed a lot of those, but that does not excuse the fact that the bullpen also contributed a crazy amount to this. The Reds, they're not blowing it in like a blown save connotation, but just, oh my God, the Reds. The Twins, my Minnesota Twins. Oh, good God. I was talking to some people at Pitcherlist, and they said, hey, you know, it's very nice that Carson talks about the Twins so much on the podcast. And I'm like, you know what? There's often stuff to talk about with them. And this is one of those instances. 8 runs in the top of the 8th inning, the Twins allowed with their bullpen. Absolutely blown save. That game was 4-3 and it ended 11-4. Good heavens. Other than that, really, it was a pretty spotless day for most of the bullpens. A lot of games where they didn't really need a lot of clutch outings, except the Mets. It's hard for me to put them here because Nolan McLean only went 4 innings. Like I said, there were so many great starters to talk about. I just couldn't talk about all of them today. Nolan McLean went 4 innings. The Mets bullpen did a really great job to pitch 5 scoreless, get them to the 10th inning. And then the Manfred runner comes around off of Austin Moore and he's given the loss. That's just kind of the way things go. Nevertheless, be sure to check out Rick Graham's weekly articles on all our relievers, their relievers are voodoo, you know. So how much stock you want to put in that, who knows? All right, we will now look forward to today's games here on this lovely Sunday. We have a full slate of games. And on the most probably the final days of your fantasy weeks, we'll try to get you the best head start. But we will look at the top 3 pitching matchups of the day. I am starting with what I think is going to be a really interesting one is Jesus Luzardo versus Chris Paddock in the Phillies Marlins game. Just a couple guys that have been erratic. Luzardo has had a crazy high ERA. We'll see how he does against a very pesky Marlins lineup. Moving on, we have another good one here. It's the Blue Jays and the Twins. Trey Savage is getting his 2nd start against Joe Ryan, a battle of some very exciting arms there in Minneapolis. We then have the Braves and Rockies. Oh, good God. It's Spencer Strider and Coors Field.
against Kyle Freeland. This one might be sad. You might want to avert your eyes, but I really want to see Spencer Strider pitch, and we'll see what he's got, and maybe one of the most difficult environments to pitch in. But our game of the day here, this one is a no-brainer for me. It is the Reds at the Pirates. It's Chase Burns versus Brandon Ashcraft. These are two of the – or Braxton Ashcraft, pardon me. These are two of the hottest arms in baseball – hottest young arms in baseball. Expect high velocity. Expect a lot of gnarly breaking stuff. And expect a really fun atmosphere, as it's going to be two really fun lineups as well. Both teams looking to make a push here for the playoffs, which is something you don't always hear for the Reds and Pirates. So that's something to be excited about in this NL Central matchups. And that's going to be my picks of the day. And that is going to be the First Pitch podcast for today. For a deeper dive on everything baseball, hop on to pitcherlist.com for further access to everything baseball. Sign up to PL Pro or PL Plus to gain access to the Discord, PLV apps to support the Pitcherlist staff like myself. So finally, my name is Carson Picard. Thank you so much for watching. You can find me on the Shallows podcast with my great co-host Eric Henriksen, as well as on Blue Sky at Carson Picard. Thank you for listening. Good luck with the rest of your weeks. Bless the knees, bless the elbows, and have a great rest of your weekend. Take care, y'all.